Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, April 29th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Kenneth Babin from St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Good morning, Pastor Babin.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning. Looking forward to studying with you this morning. Tell us about your congregation, St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Sure. St. John Lutheran was founded here in New Orleans in 1852 by German immigrants that came over. And we have been a congregation since then. We started a school in 1854, and we have grown as time has progressed. Our first congregation was more down towards the Mississippi River where New Orleans started, and we are now in a place of town called Mid-City, which is about halfway between Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River. One of the sort of claim to fames we have is that our first baptism here was done by C.F.W. Walter, who came down from St. Louis area to do that baptism. But we have a wonderful school that is now preschool, three-year-old up to seventh grade, have been growing since Katrina. Our school and church was closed after Katrina. We had over 5 to 6 feet of flood water here, but we are back with the Lord's grace and blessings and doing some good work here in the New Orleans area to reach out to not only residents, but tourists who come. This is Jazz Fest weekend coming up, the second weekend. So we get a lot of tourists that come in. We're right on the streetcar line on Canal Street. So we have plenty of visitors that come to hear the word of God while they're here in town.
And so glad that you are there delivering God's good gifts and that the Lord has provided for you to rebuild and continue to serve there in the community in New Orleans. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 10 today. What would you like for us to know about Luke chapter 10 verses 1 through 22 before we study the text today?
The good thing to know is that the previous chapter in Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to go and proclaim the word of God. And then in Luke chapter 10, he sends out 72 others, which is 72 other disciples. A lot of times we think of just the 12, but in chapter 9, the big 12 kind of go out. And then in chapter 10, we've got 72 other followers, other disciples of Jesus that go out. So as we look at chapter 10, we'll know that the 12 have already gone out and come back. And now there's another group, this large group of 72, that goes out with that same proclamation that the Messiah is here.
Well, let's take a look then. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. If you have a question or a comment today, listeners, give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 10 today with Pastor Babin from St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you that it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" All right, so travel arrangements. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. They get their travel papers here.
Yes, that's a pretty big group. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, the 12 have already gone out kind of to prepare the way for these 72 to go out and proclaim that Jesus is here. So you've got, of course, the 12 disciples going out, like the 12 nations. And then you've got the 72, which is it seems like a weird number. In the Septuagint, in the Greek Old Testament, 72 was a representation of the number of Gentile nations in the world. So that may be why Jesus sends out 72. Otherwise, 72 seems kind of like an arbitrary number. But 72 go out. They don't all go out together. They go out two by two, which we see in verse 1. The Lord appointed 72. He sent them on ahead of him, which means Jesus is going to follow them. So it's not like they're going out and they're on their own. They're going to go out and prepare the people for Jesus, and then Jesus is going to come after them as they go. And they go out two by two, which it's kind of reminiscent of Noah there, taking the animals in the ark two by two. They go out two by two so that they have someone to support them, so that they are able to take care of one another. You know, if you've got one guy going out, it may be a little dangerous, or if you've got one person going out, it may be a little daunting, that task, and they may give up in the face of adversity. So you've got two going out so they can support and encourage one another. And then there's also that biblical saying of you have two witnesses to provide testimony in court, that it's not just one person's word, but when you have two, then that is a good witness that is going on there. So you've got these two by two going out into all these different areas to go and proclaim the word of God. So the 12 disciples go first, then these 72 go out, and then eventually Jesus will follow them.
So it sends them out two by two, and he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
When I was looking at this before and then today, I know we had a call day service, I think, for 44 Wayne.
Yes,
today.
Yeah.
And then I think Concordia St. Louis is today. So you've got, I know when I graduated from the seminary, I think we had 120 or more candidates going out. And I think with the lesser number of candidates, you can see the workers are few. That it has really come down to not as many men going into the ministry, unfortunately, and to be sent out. We have more churches that are vacant than students going out. So we need to really keep praying that the Lord would still send laborers out into the vineyard, because, man, the harvest is plentiful out there. You know, we see how our kind of how our nation and our world is changing dramatically in thought process, in belief, in how they feel about Christianity, how they feel about other religions, how they think about tolerance and different lifestyles. And yeah, we really need more people to go out there to spread the gospel. The laborers are few. So yeah, more church workers would be good, but actually also just more regular people that in their daily walk of life going out and sharing that message of Christ.
Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. I'm sending you out into this difficult world, as you were talking about, being prepared to go out into this world with all these different world views, all these all this world, this fallen world that's shaped by not only the gifts of God, but also this fall into sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Jesus is not pulling any punches here. He's telling these 72, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be as easy as you think. It's not going to be, hey, here's the message, and everybody says, yes, let's follow it wholeheartedly and go. You are correct. Lambs in the midst of wolves. He's being really honest here and saying that it's not going to be that simple, that people are going to reject your message, that when we go out, not just church workers, but when all of God's people, you know, when we come to worship on Sunday and we receive his word and sacraments, and then we are always sent out the rest of the week really as lambs in the midst of wolves, but that, yes, people are going to reject our message. Yes, people may say we are wrong, but you still love them anyway. And yes, it may be dangerous. Yes, you may face opposition, but you share the gospel anyway. Yes, you may be persecuted for your beliefs and what you say. And if so, if you meet opposition, then you are doing it right. You are really spreading a countercultural message that the gospel of Jesus Christ will run up against.
And he says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Don't take anything with you. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Don't take anything with you, but go to stay in the house. Go whatever house you enter, say, peace be to this house. Stay with them.
Mm-hmm. Right, I can't imagine walking out of the house like without my cell phone. And here you've got no knapsack, no money bag, no sandals. I have four kids, and a minivan is a prerequisite whenever we go somewhere, and you have to have all the stuff and all the accoutrement to go with it as you are traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here Jesus is saying, really, put your trust in him. No money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. You just go. That you are to rely on the grace of God and the generosity of others. And then it says, you know, greet no one on the road, which it sounds kind of harsh, but really what he's saying is you can be friendly. You know, when you pass somebody on the road, you say hi, but you don't stop and stay and talk to that one person about just things in general. He's saying more important things are needed to get the gospel out there. So things are urgent. Don't stay in on the road. Go to the places where I am sending you with no knapsack, no sandals, and not greeting anyone on the road.
And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Just stay with them, eat whatever they put before you.
Yeah, that has some different connotations here in New Orleans, too. We have a lot of great food.
I bet, yeah.
Sometimes when people come and visit, they're like, what is this crawfish stuff? What is this? How does this taste? And you might be a little hesitant about eating something new. But as you go, you say peace to this house. You greet the people that are there. You remain in that same house so you don't say, well, you know, maybe the next-door neighbor has better accommodations. Now, you stay in the one house. You eat and drink what they provide. The laborer provides. Deserves his wages. Use one house as your base camp. Eat what is set before you. You know, if you go to somebody's house as a guest and you refuse what they are sending you, then your message is going to be lost. Now, if you're coming with the message of Christ and you refuse to be part of their household and neglect the things that they do, then they're not really going to hear the message of Christ. And as these disciples are going out, they're going into some Gentile houses. And Jesus is saying, eat what they put in front of you, which means you may be eating unclean stuff. You may be eating things that may go against what your Jewish heritage says. And Jesus says, you do it because the preaching of the gospel is more important than any kind of food law, that you can be the same way with them. Do so anyway for the sake of the message. And eating what is in front of you, going to these Gentiles, is a sign of how the Gentiles are going to come to faith later. In the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So whatever they place before you, eat it and heal the sick when you're there. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What does this mean? The kingdom of God has come near to you.
The healing of the sick, the miracle of people being healed, is a sign that the kingdom of God has come. That when you see people who are crippled, who are blind, like the woman with the bloody flow for so many years, when you see these people who are sick and then miraculously healed, it's a sign that God is there, that God is present, the kingdom of God is here. And this is really the heart of Jesus' message, to get people to realize that he is the Messiah. The kingdom of God is here. Everything is going to change. Follow him because greater things are coming.
Whenever you enter a house and they do not receive you, verse 10, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.
Yeah, that's the way not to get invited back, isn't it? You stayed in our house, but now you won't, since you won't receive our message, we'll shake the dust off of our feet. So here you've got, when the disciples go into a town and they're not received, the gospel is not heard, then that message is, you know, we don't even want to have anything to do with you anymore. We proclaim the gospel to you. We've told you what it's about. And then the wiping of the dust of the feet is really a sign that the people are rejecting Christ and that the disciples are rejecting them. We don't want anything to do with you. We're wiping the dust of our feet off so that we're just kind of removing you from the narrative here. That you heard the gospel, but you still rejected it. So we're wiping that dust off. We're going to move on to somebody else, and we're going to proclaim the gospel to them. And then he's got that great part here. It'll be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. That's pretty heavy for that. More bearable for Sodom. As we know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God. But now that the kingdom of God has come near, the people who now reject Jesus' message will be more accountable because they heard the message of Jesus and they rejected it. Sodom didn't even get a chance to hear the gospel and reject it. But these towns that have heard the gospel and rejected it, they're the ones that are going to be more responsible for that. And wiping the dirt off your feet is a symbol of God's judgment against a place or a people. It means you reject them for their disbelief. You don't want to have anything to do with them. It's kind of a complete separation.
Looking over just this first paragraph, verses chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, anything else you'd like for us to learn before we go on to the next section, Pastor?
No, I think that's it.
All right, let's take a short break before we go on to verse 13. Listeners, if you have questions or comments today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. We'll continue our study here in just a moment as we're studying Luke chapter 10 today with Pastor Babin from St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, April 29th, 2015. Today's day sponsors are Roger and Leela Thurow. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in thanksgiving to the Lord for all his blessings as Roger and Leela celebrate their 43rd wedding anniversary. Glory and thanksgiving to our God. Once again, we say thank you to Roger and Leela Thurow of Scottsville, Michigan. Today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
Babies come with lots of decisions.
Cloth or disposable, crib or bassinet.
So when it comes to protection, go with the safest, most effective choice, immunization. Get all the recommended vaccines for your baby by age 2 to protect your child against 14 serious childhood diseases. For more reasons to immunize, talk to your child's doctor. Go to health.mo.gov/immunizations or call 800-219-3224.
Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Kenneth Babin from St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. We're in Luke chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 22. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Email address is kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 13?
Yes.
All right, let's take a look. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Let's take a look at this, Pastor. Now, I learned when reading names and cities and things like that in the Bible, you just say it with confidence, even if you get it wrong, right?
Right.
I'm guessing it was Chorazin, but that was just a good guess.
That sounds good. As I tell people that read the lectionary on Sundays, I say, just read it. Say it like you know what you're talking about, and nobody will question it because they don't want to be up there reading it wrong either. And after we've had some verses, positive thoughts about the disciples going out and sharing the good news, now we've got one of these woe to unrepentant cities. And if you only had verses 13 to 16 in your gospel text for that week, it be tough. It'd be hard preaching. But you've got this area, Chorazin and Bethsaida. You had the disciples giving mighty works and doing miracles in those towns, and Jesus is saying, miracles were performed in you. If those, and you didn't believe, if those same miracles were performed in the towns of Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. They would have been sitting in sackcloth and ashes, which, if you've ever had like a potato sack or burlap or something and had it rub against your skin, that is not pleasant. And then the idea of ashes, people would put ashes on their head to symbolize kind of like their life is destroyed. It's burned up. It's total destruction of everything in your life. Everything is burned to the ground. So Jesus is saying, the pagan cities were more receptive to the gospel than the children of Abraham. Even those horrible cities of Tyre and Sidon, they should have repented. That's how bad you are at Chorazin and Bethsaida. The gospel was preached to you. The pagan cities responded. You didn't. So that's not too good.
But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. None of this sounds good.
No, there's not much gospel that is going on here. More favorable for Tyre and Sidon, as bad as they are, they would have repented if they'd seen the miracles. And Capernaum was Jesus' home base of operation. It was on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the people there saw Jesus all the time. They saw him, they heard him preach, they saw the miracles, and yet they still didn't follow him. Some followed him, but a lot didn't. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the skies just because Jesus is your hometown guy? No, unless you believe in him. They may have been thinking, hey, we know who Jesus is, but just because you know of someone doesn't mean you actually know that person and follow him and believe in him. So even though Jesus did a lot of miracles in that area, they saw, but they still didn't believe. And then you've got verse 16, the one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sends me. So when we hear the word of God, when we read the word of God, we hear it proclaimed, it is the same thing as listening to Jesus teach. So when we reject the messenger of the gospel, when we reject someone who is proclaiming the gospel, then we're also rejecting who they're proclaiming. We're rejecting Jesus and our Heavenly Father. So, yeah, Jesus is sending these disciples out and saying, I went and preached, the 12 went and preached, now these 72 are going out. If you still don't believe, things aren't going to be too good. But that the gospel has been proclaimed and eternal life is here, found through him, through belief.
Anything else up through verse 16 before we go on to 17?
No, I think we're done condemning cities here.
All right. Verse 17, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So the 72 returned and returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
Right. They go out and they proclaim the gospel of Christ, and they see things happening. They see people coming to faith. They see people being healed. They see the demons fleeing with the good news of the gospel, and they're coming back saying, they had some people that didn't believe, but they come back with this message saying, look, this is what has happened. People are coming to faith in you, believing in you, and so now even the demons flee from them. So they see that the demons are subject to Christ, that he expels everything, that in his name you have life and eternal life to come. And Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And we get that picture of Satan falling from heaven that first time when he was cast out. It could be a reference to that, but also probably that Jesus is seeing Satan's reign come to an end, that with the proclamation of the gospel and through his death and resurrection, that Satan's power is diminished and he is defeated, and that his ultimate defeat comes at the cross and the empty tomb. So that when the disciples are out there, when we are out there proclaiming the good news, that Satan is defeated through the power of Christ.
So don't rejoice in what happens. Don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Written in heaven. This seems just a little bit speaks of election, doesn't it?
A little bit. You would think, you know, is your name written in heaven? Is it there forever? But your names are written in heaven through Christ. That through your faith in Christ, your faith is sure. We kind of get that image of a book in heaven with your name written in it. Rejoice that you know who Jesus is. Rejoice that you know that he has come to save you. Rejoice that you believe in Jesus, that you have forgiveness and eternal life through the cross and the empty tomb, and that our salvation in Christ is more important than anything like trampling on serpents and scorpions or rejoicing that the spirits are subject to you. No, rejoice that your names are written in heaven through Christ.
Amen and amen. Before we go on to verse 21, anything else about this section, the 72 returning and being joyful and being reminded, do not rejoice in the fact that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Anything else about that section before we go on to 21?
In verse 19, with serpents and scorpions, I wouldn't try trampling on them literally. We're not a group of snake handlers or anything, but that you have the power through Christ that you fear nothing because you know of his love and salvation for you. So it's not so much the disciples are trampling over serpents and scorpions, but that they're really defeating the devil as they continue to proclaim Christ among them and rejoice that your names are there written in the blood of Christ.
So you're not going to be heading over to Sweetwater, Texas for the rattlesnake roundup?
Probably not, no.
All right, let's go on to verse 21. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So in the same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit.
Right. That these 72 come back, they rejoice. Jesus is rejoicing in the Spirit that people are believing, that the message goes through these disciples, these 72 and the 12, and that people are believing it, and that it is not so much the wisdom of this world that helps us understand our salvation, but understanding that it is through little children that it is children of the Heavenly Father who know it, who realize that their faith is in him and not in ourselves or our works or our smarts or anything like that. Now, you can be the smartest person in the world and still reject Christ. That doesn't make you the smartest person, though. That really our whole goal is to know Christ and to make him known to others, and that it is revealed to people that they can see that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and that they are his children. There's a verse from Isaiah that says, the wisdom of the wise will perish and the intelligent of the intelligent will vanish. And that the cross is seen as foolishness to mm-hmm. many, but it is the wisdom of the world that in this cross, in this seemingly punishable death that has no purpose, no, in that death on the cross, we are forgiven. And in that empty tomb, we have eternal life. And then verse 22, Jesus has this absolute authority over all creation that he got from the Father, and that the only way we know Jesus is through faith, which the Father gives us through the Holy Spirit, and the only way we know the Father is through the Son. So you've got this whole Trinity passage really here involved in this one little section of Jesus saying here.
And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And it is through the Son that we know the Father.
Hmm. then as is coming up with Pentecost Sunday, that then the Holy Spirit reveals it to the nations, and then it just explodes and goes out from there.
Wow. Pastor, looking over this text as a whole today, what would you like for us to learn from this? I know we have morning prayer coming up in just a little while here in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll join together in morning prayer and hear a sermonette on this text as well. But what would you like for us to learn from this text as a whole today?
I think a good point for this text is to use it as an evangelism method here of saying, you know, a lot of times we think, well, we're not trained as regular lay people, or we don't know what to say, or we don't know what to do, we don't know what it would be like going out and sharing the gospel. And here you've got these 72 disciples who really don't appear too many other places in the Bible, and Jesus just says, go out two by two to people in places you don't know, get involved with their ethnic life and their community, live among them, share the gospel so that they can know Christ. And we may think we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do. And these 72, we don't really know how much experience they had or if they were trained, and they just went out. They just went out and proclaimed the gospel of Christ to everybody they met on the road, in towns, and houses. And I think it's a good example for us, is that there's a good and great need for people to hear the gospel again in our society that seems to be going whichever way the wind blows right now. And for all of us, that we can go out and whoever you meet in your office, in your town, at your kid's school, in your neighborhood, that when you go out, you always go out with the message of Christ in your heart and on your lips, so that people can know him through you, and so that you can rejoice that the Holy Spirit may come into their lives and they may see Jesus as their Savior, and that you can rejoice and rejoice that their names are written in heaven through Christ. So I think that's a good point to take from this today, is that as the 72 go out, the rest of us, no matter who we are, what age we are, that the rest of us who have faith in Christ and know him can go out and make him known to the people around us.
So what you're saying is the 72 didn't have to earn a PhD in missiology before being sent out?
Probably not.
But what they were equipped with was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And they were sent. God, as Jesus sent them, that was the key thing. They were equipped with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, and they were sent by God to these various places, and they were given to do that. That's what they're given. And we're going to talk about what we're given in just a little bit. Witness Wednesday coming up in just a little bit with Pastor Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach here for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What are the ways in which we're given to tell the good news of Jesus, to be these witnesses, just as these 72 were sent out. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for being our guest pastor today, helping us study the daily New Testament reading in Luke chapter 10. Pastor Kenneth Babin from St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Thank you.
God bless you and all the saints there at St. John Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday, right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.